In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us kneel. O sweetest Jesus, whose overflowing charity towards men is most ungratefully repaid by such forgetfulness, neglect, and contempt, see prostrate before thy altars, we strive by special honor to make amends for the wicked coldness of men and the contumely with which thy most loving heart is everywhere treated. At the same time, mindful of the fact that we too have sometimes not been free from unworthiness, and moved therefore with most vehement sorrow, in the first place we implore thy mercy on us, being prepared by voluntary expiation to make amends for the sins we have ourselves committed, and also for the sins of those who wander far from the way of salvation, whether because, being obstinate in their unbelief, they refuse to follow thee as their shepherd and leader, or because, spurning the promises of their baptism, they have cast off the most sweet yoke of thy law. We now endeavor to expiate all these lamentable crimes together, and it is also our purpose to make amends for each one of them severally, for the want of modesty in life and dress, for impurities, for so many snares set for the minds of the innocent, for the violation of feast days, for the horrid blasphemies against thee and thy saints, for the insults offered to thy vicar and to the priestly order, for the neglect of the sacrament of divine love, or its profanation by horrible sacrileges. And lastly, for the public sins of nations, which resist the rights and the teaching authority of the Church, which thou hast instituted. Would that we could wash away these crimes with our own blood. And now to make amends for the outrage offered to the divine honor, we offer to thee the same satisfaction which thou didst once offer to thy Father on the cross, and which thou dost continually renew on our altars. We offer this conjoined with the expiations of the Virgin Mother and of all the saints, and of all pious Christians, promising from our heart that so far as in us lies, with the help of thy grace, we will make amends for our own past sins and for the sins of others, and for the neglect of thy boundless love, by firm faith, by a pure way of life, and by a perfect observance of the gospel law, especially that of charity. We will also strive with all our strength to prevent injuries being offered to thee, and gather as many as we can to become thy followers. Receive, we beseech thee, O most benign Jesus, by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Reparatress, the voluntary homage of this expiation, and vouchsafe by that great gift of final perseverance, to keep us most faithful until death in our duty and in thy service, so that at length we may all come to that fatherland, where thou with the Father and the Holy Ghost livest and reignest God forever and ever. Amen. The prayer of reparation, which we just prayed, was ordered to be prayed annually on the Feast of the Sacred Heart by Pope Pius XI in his encyclical letter, Miserentissimus Redemptor, on reparation to the Sacred Heart, dated May the 8th, 1928. And at the end of this same encyclical letter, Pius XI makes a direct reference to today's Holy Gospel, taken from St. Luke chapter 15. The Pope comments on, quote, "The joy that will be felt by the most sacred heart of Jesus upon one sinner doing penance." Luke 15:10. Close quote. "If a man with 100 sheep rejoices when he finds the one that is lost, how much more will not the heart of the good shepherd rejoice when one of his lost sheep seeks to be carried upon his shoulders? And if the angels of God rejoice upon one sinner doing penance and converting, how much more will not the heart of the King of Angels rejoice? I don't think that we very often consciously and at length reflect on the Sacred Heart of Jesus when we hear many of the passages of the Gospel. But hopefully this is something that we'll begin to do, because pretty much in every Gospel, especially where our Savior Jesus Christ is explicitly mentioned, whether His words, actions, or miracles, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is there, beating and loving. Just today's Gospel, it's rather remarkable, because I would say that it has a profound amount to do with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But I think that normally we wouldn't really consider that. But just think about the context of the Gospel, because it has to do with Jesus going out to the publicans and the sinners and being criticized for it. The reason why this has so much to do with the Sacred Heart of Jesus is because it is the love in His Sacred Heart that moves Him to go out and look for the lost sheep. And what is most going to be able to convert the sinner, whoever he or she may be, is coming to believe more and coming to know more the infinite love of the Sacred Heart of our Savior. And this is something that definitely applies to each one of us, because hopefully we'll be the first to acknowledge that we also are sinners. We're sinners, and yet why so often do we not change? This is something I think we should often ask ourselves. Why has one day passed? Why has a week passed? Why has a month passed? Why have years passed? Maybe even years that I've been going to the traditional Latin Mass, and I still don't seem to change. I'm still the same sinner that I was one day ago, a week ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. One of the answers to this is, how much of an effort have you truly made to behold the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Because the sinner who truly beholds this most Sacred Heart will ever surely convert. We must behold the heart that has loved us to the extreme. On June the 16th, 1675, on the occasion of his third apparition to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, a contemplative nun of the Visitation, our Lord Himself said, quote, "Behold this heart which has loved men so much that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself, in order to testify to them its love. And in return, I receive from the greater number nothing but ingratitude, by reason of their irreverence and sacrileges, and by the coldness and contempt which they show me in this sacrament of love. But what I feel most keenly is that it is hearts which are consecrated to me that treat me thus. Therefore I ask of thee that the Friday, after the octave of Corpus Christi, be set apart for a special feast to honor my heart, by receiving Holy Communion on that day, and making reparation to my heart by a solemn act, in order to make amends for the indignities which it has received during the time it has been exposed on the altars. I promise thee that my heart shall expand itself to shed in abundance the influence of its divine love upon those who shall thus honor it and cause it to be honored." Close quote. It's a little bit of a long quote, but remember in particular the very beginning, those first words of our Lord to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. "Behold this heart which has loved men so much." In many ways, this command of our Lord is a summary of our Catholic religion. If every single Catholic would truly make more of an effort to behold this heart which has loved men so much, lives would change. The church would change. The traditional Latin Mass would come back in full force. Recall also, because it's very similar to these words of our Lord, to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, very similar the final words of the Gospel that we just heard 2 days ago on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. John chapter 19, 37, quote, "And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." Close quote. How often do you look upon him whom by your sins you've pierced? 2 days ago was the Feast of the Sacred Heart. 10 days ago was the Feast of Corpus Christi. 14 days ago was the Feast of the Most Blessed Trinity. And 21 days ago was the great feast of the Holy Ghost, Pentecost. A lot of blessings that we've been receiving by God lately. Right now, I just want to take a few moments to point out the relationship between these great mysteries of faith and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is a way of beholding the heart which we have pierced by our sins in its relation to these other mysteries. So again, very briefly, first, the Sacred Heart and the Most Blessed Trinity. St. John Eudes says the following, quote, "Christian faith teaches us that there are three persons in the adorable mystery of the Holy Trinity. Three persons who have but one and the same divinity, one and the same power, wisdom, goodness, one and the same mind, will, and even one and the same heart. Thence it is that our Savior, as God, has but one and the same heart with the Father and the Holy Ghost. And as man, his humanly divine and divinely human heart is but one also with the heart of the Father and the Holy Ghost. By a unity of mind, love, and will. Therefore, to adore the Sacred Heart of Jesus is to adore the heart of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Close quote. Remember in particular that last line by St. John Eudes. To adore the Sacred Heart of Jesus is to adore the heart of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This is one of the reasons why we can say the devotion to the Sacred Heart is at the very center of our Catholic religion. Now, on to the Sacred Heart and the Holy Ghost. Again, don't forget, Pentecost Sunday was 3 weeks ago. We're in the time after Pentecost. So, the Sacred Heart and the Holy Ghost. Pope Pius XII wrote an encyclical letter on the Sacred Heart, Haudietis Aquas, in 1956, commemorating the 100th anniversary of when Pope Pius IX extended the Feast of the Sacred Heart to the Universal Church in 1856. In this encyclical, Pope Pius XII teaches, quote, "Divine love first takes its origin from the Holy Ghost, who is the love in person of the Father and the Son in the bosom of the Most Holy Trinity. Holy Writ declares that between divine charity, which must burn in the souls of Christians, and the Holy Ghost, who is certainly love itself, there exists the closest bond." Close quote. So again, Pope Pius XII here is telling us there's the closest bond between divine charity, the charity that God infuses into our souls on the day of our baptism, and the Holy Ghost, who is love itself or love himself. Well, then definitely there's a very strong relationship between the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Holy Ghost for many reasons, but one of the reasons is because in our devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we are to do the best that we can to return the love of the Sacred Heart back to Him, to love Him as He loves us. And if we're going to be loving Jesus and His Sacred Heart, especially with divine charity, very close bond between that divine charity and the Holy Ghost, love itself. In order to return the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we are very much in need of the fire, the flames of love of the Holy Ghost. And that's why, just because Pentecost Sunday was 3 weeks ago, please continue to pray and ask for the help of the Holy Ghost. How can you possibly truly love without the help and fire of the Holy Ghost? And now for the Sacred Heart and the Holy Eucharist. Obviously here the relationship is profound, profound, profound between the Sacred Heart and the Holy Eucharist, and I'm just going to say a few words right now. One of the ways in which St. John Eudes describes the Sacred Heart of Jesus is as a furnace of love for us in the Blessed Sacrament. He speaks about 8 flames of love issuing continually from the Sacred Heart in the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through all 8 of the flames. I'm just going to quote to you what he says about the first flame. But you can go and look it up. This is what he says about that first flame. A flame of love issuing from the Sacred Heart present in the Blessed Sacrament. And again, we're just talking about one of them. Here's what he writes. Quote, "The first flame is the inconceivable love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which impelled Him to imprison Himself in this sacrament and has constrained Him to abide there continuously, night and day, for nearly 2,000 years, to be always with us, so as to fulfill the promise of these words, 'Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world,' Matthew 28:20. He is the good shepherd who wishes always to be with his flock. He is the divine physician who wishes always to be at the bedside of his patients. He is the father full of affection who never leaves his children. He is the friend most loyal and tender whose delight is to be with his friends." Close quote. We would do well to behold this heart which has loved men so much, especially in the Blessed Sacrament. Notice how St. John Eudes says, trying to explain this first flame of love issuing continually from the Sacred Heart, he says, "He is a father full of affection who never leaves his children." Just think about that, because think about all the sadness and all the pain, all the sorrow, all the hurt in the world today and in hearts and souls today because so many fathers have abandoned their children, have abandoned their home, are not living their vocation. Father's Day is coming up, by the way, so that's why maybe I also mention it. So the fathers will, if they've failed in the past year, they'll hit it really hard in this next week, so they will be more deserving to be congratulated next Sunday. But really, no, think about this. I mean, very, very seriously, just think about this, because how different lives would be and how much healing there would be if all those souls who've been hurt by the sins of fathers would truly behold that heart in the Blessed Sacrament and find there a father full of affection who never leaves his children. Just a few very general things about the Sacred Heart of Jesus now. Remember that the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the chief sign of the infinite love of our divine Redeemer. With his most Sacred Heart, Jesus unceasingly loves his eternal Father and all of mankind. Listen again to what St. John Eudes teaches. Quote, Most certainly, the admirable heart of Jesus is a furnace of love for his divine Father, for his blessed Mother, and for his church, triumphant, militant, and suffering, and also for each one of us. Close quote. And Pope Pius XII, in his 1956 encyclical letter on the Sacred Heart, which I already mentioned, he points out to us that the works of our Lord, which most clearly manifest his love for us, that is, the infinite love of his Sacred Heart, he says that there are five. Five works of Jesus that most clearly manifest the infinite love of his Sacred Heart. And what are those five works? Again, straight from the encyclical by Pope Pius XII. One, his institution of the Eucharist. We already covered that very briefly. So one, his institution of the Eucharist. These are the things you should be thinking about when we say, behold this heart. Think about all the significance that he's instituted the Eucharist. His institution of the Eucharist. Number two, his most bitter sufferings and death. His passion. Three, the loving gift of his Holy Mother to us. He's given us his Mother. The infinite love of the Sacred Heart. The Eucharist, his passion, his Mother. Number four, the founding of the church for us. This is why we must all have a deep, deep, deep love for the church. The church is the mystical body of Christ. The church can never be separated from Christ. Especially right now where, yes, the crisis in the church is terrible. It's frightening. I was just talking about the frightening nature of the crisis just yesterday at a Fatima Center Rosary Rally in Kansas City. And number five, the sending of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles and upon us. He sent the Holy Ghost upon us. The infinite love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus at work. Also, just to let you know, hopefully many of you already know this, but I'll emphasize it again today. The purpose of devotion to the Sacred Heart is threefold. Love, reparation, and imitation. Easy enough to remember. Love, reparation, and imitation. Don't forget imitation. So just a word on those three. Love. To make Jesus a return for his boundless love with our love. That's why he appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And also to many other saints in the past 2,000 years. Even St. John the Apostle. In many ways, St. John the Apostle is the great apostle of the Sacred Heart because he rested on the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But again, our Lord has given us this devotion so that we may make to him a return for his boundless love with our love. So central to the devotion to the Sacred Heart, love. Two, reparation. Through the fervor of our piety to make amends for all the indifference, ingratitude, and insults by the majority of men towards Jesus' Sacred Heart. The more you behold this heart which has loved men so much, the more it's going to break your heart at how ungrateful we have been and are. And so you're going to make reparation. Love, reparation. And three, imitation. To imitate the Sacred Heart we worship. That we may be inspired. Again, devotion to the Sacred Heart is so that we may be inspired with the same affections and sentiments that inspire and live in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So everything, I mean, just, this is a tall order. Everything that our Lord felt in his Sacred Heart, all the love and affection in his Sacred Heart, we are to strive to imitate that. That's why we've been given devotion to the Sacred Heart. And again, to do this, to carry out all of the above, that is, love, reparation, and imitation, it all starts with beholding the heart that has loved men so much. To take more time to really look at and reflect and meditate on the Sacred Heart of our Divine Redeemer. A few final comments here. I'll do these as quickly as I can, because this first comment could be very, very long. So I just want to emphasize to you, look up the very beautiful prayer that I prayed right now. It's the prayer of reparation that was composed by Pope Pius XI. It's in his encyclical letter on reparation to the Sacred Heart. Again, that's Miserentissimus Redemptor, dated May the 8th, 1928. Because this is the prayer that he ordered to be prayed in reparation every year on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. I prayed it today because I think probably most of us didn't pray it 2 days ago. So if we didn't, we're at least making up. At least we're close. We're only 2 days off. But pay very close attention to it as to what it is that we should be making reparation for. Which sins? And how we should make reparation. Because it isn't just reparation by our prayers. That's very important. So I'll just comment on this very quickly right now, and I'm just going straight from the prayer that we just prayed. This is the prayer of Pope Pius XI. And these are the sins he says that we should be making reparation for. So the whole point here is that when you go before the Sacred Heart to behold this heart, think about these sins. First, the sins we have ourselves committed. That's one of the first things that every single Catholic should be doing when he or she goes to pray before the Sacred Heart of Jesus, for example, present in the Blessed Sacrament, to really consider the sins that I myself have committed. And then he mentions to make reparation for the sins of those who wander from the way of salvation. The most important thing is to be on the path of salvation, to be in a state of grace. So then the sins of those who obviously their grave sin is they're off the path. And he says, those who either because they're obstinate in their unbelief, all the pagans, all those who do not believe the Catholic religion. The point is here, this is very serious. This is very different from saying, oh, well, don't worry, we all believe in the same God. God is merciful. Serious reparation has to be made for all those who are obstinate in their unbelief, those who don't believe the true Catholic religion. And then he also includes, and those who have spurned the promises of their baptism and have cast off the most sweet yoke of thy law. So all those Catholics that basically are not living faithfully to their baptismal promises. Catholics that are living in a state of mortal sin. And again, right there, reparation being made for all those. It's a lot of reparation that needs to be being made. All those who either do not believe the Catholic faith or all those who, in quotations, believe, but have cast off the most sweet yoke of Christ's law. And then he goes into specifics and says, we need to make reparation for the want of modesty in life and dress, for impurities, for so many snares set for the minds of the innocent. Errors set for the mind. So much error that's out there. For the violation of feast days, for the horrid blasphemies against thee and thy saints, for the insults offered to thy vicar, obviously that's the Holy Father, and to the priestly order, for the neglect of the sacrament of divine love, that's the Eucharist, for the neglect of the Holy Eucharist, or its profanation by horrible sacrileges. And then listen to the last one. This is extremely important. Reparation to be made for these sins. And he says, and for the public sins of nations. You better believe this applies to us here in the United States. It applies also to other countries, but worry first about ourselves. To the public sins of nations which resist the rights and teaching authority of the church which thou hast instituted. When have you ever heard someone in the American political arena acknowledge that as a country, we have to respect the rights and the teaching authority of the church, of the Catholic Church. In particular, to the moral law. Massive sins being committed. And then, just very quickly, he says here a little bit later in the prayer, we will make amends. This is how we're promising to make reparation in the prayer. We will make amends for our past sins and for the sins of others. Even if you think you're a real holy roller and you don't think you've sinned that much, believe me here, and for the sins of others, what we just talked about, You would be doing reparation till you were blue and purple and every other color in the face to make the appropriate reparation. So again, we will make amends for our past sins and for the sins of others and for the neglect of thy boundless love. Sacred Heart, here's the way. By firm faith. If you want to know everything that means, go back and listen to the Lenten mission that I gave. So, by your firm faith, even stronger faith, by a pure way of life, purity, in body, mind, soul. Remember also, purity of mind, that we're believing the truth. So by a firm faith, by a pure way of life, and by a perfect observance of the gospel law, especially that of charity. That's how you should be making reparation. By doing your best to observe perfectly the Holy Gospel. The law of the Holy Gospel, especially the law of charity. How charitable have you been in the past week and months? And I haven't forgotten the fathers. How charitable have all of you fathers been? Fathers and husbands. There is much more that I wanted to say, but I will not. I will spare you. I'll just tell you one last thing, and it's this. I always like giving you some homework, so hopefully some of you will do this. One of the ways in which we can truly and very concretely behold the heart which has loved men so much is at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so for those of you that have the Blessed Sacrament Prayer Book by Father Lassance, there is what's called Mass in Union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's beginning on page 179, where it gives you a way that you can participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by uniting yourself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I would encourage you, every once in a while, participate in Mass in that way, more aware of being in union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Again, that's a whole little section there in the Blessed Sacrament Prayer Book, starting on page 179. One other example that I'll give you, many of you might not have this one, but I'll just show it to you so you know it's out there. There is another book by the same Father Lassance. This one's called Sacred Heart Book. Some of you might know he has a book that's called Our Lady Book. You know, it's on devotion on Our Blessed Mother. Well, he's also got one on the Sacred Heart, so it's called Sacred Heart Book. In this book, there's a way of participating in Mass similar to the one that's in the Blessed Sacrament Prayer Book, but a little bit different. And the one that's in this one, it's on pages 159 to 174. It's called this, Mass in Union with the Sorrows and Sufferings of the Heart of Jesus. And it basically gives you, I was going to read a little bit of one of them, but I'm not going to anymore, so don't worry. It gives you four main prayers. They're beautiful prayers. They're four long prayers, you know, maybe two or three pages long. They're four long prayers that you can pray during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass so that you'll be in union with the sorrows and sufferings of the Heart of Jesus, and it divides them into the four parts of the Mass. So I'll just give you the headings, and then we're done. From the commencement of Mass to the Gospel. And then the theme is the Heart of Jesus praying and suffering. That's what you're meditating on. That's the prayer that you're praying. And then from the Gospel to the elevation or the consecration, the Heart of Jesus humbled and annihilated. And then the third part, from the elevation to the communion of the priest, the Heart of Jesus suffering and expiring on the cross. And then from the communion of the priest to the end of Mass, the Heart of Jesus concealed and buried in the sepulcher. Obviously, prayers for each one of those themes. Let us kneel. O most Sacred Heart of Jesus, pour down thy blessings abundantly upon thy church, upon the Supreme Pontiff, and upon all the clergy. Give perseverance to the just, convert sinners, enlighten unbelievers, bless our parents, friends, and benefactors, help the dying, free the souls in purgatory, and extend over all hearts the sweet empire of thy love. Heart of Jesus, burning with love of us, inflame our hearts with love of thee. O sweetest heart of Jesus, I implore that I may ever love thee more and more. Let us with Mary Immaculate adore, thank, pray to, and console the most sacred and well-beloved Eucharistic heart of Jesus. May the heart of Jesus in the most blessed sacrament be praised, adored, and loved with grateful affection at every moment in all the tabernacles of the world, even to the end of time. Amen. Most sacred heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. All for thee, most sacred heart of Jesus. Sacred heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.